everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you along with my buddy John Couch on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing our program. It's Tuesday, July 27th, 2021. I never thought I would be so happy to see the sun in southern Arizona. That's right. Daniel Hernandez is with me in studio. I mean, a couple of days actually drying out, I think, is good. We wanted the rain, but, you know.
We needed it. But you're not used to the rain here in Tucson.
No, not like that. Yeah. You know, Seattle comes to Tucson last weekend. We're in our coming up on 11 full years in January in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Our radio station is 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. The call letters are KVOI, our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's get right into our newsmaker interview, State Representative from District 2. We have Daniel Hernandez with me in studio, a Democrat who recently announced his candidacy for U.S. Congress in Arizona's 2nd Congressional District. Representative Hernandez has served in the Arizona House since 2017. He's the co-founder in the House of the LGBTQ caucus, and he joins two fellow lawmakers on the Democratic side in this race for Congress, Kirsten Engel and Dr. Randy Fries. A first-generation college student, Daniel attended the University of Arizona, where he interned for then-Congresswoman Gabby Giffords, and was there on that day of the tragic attack on Gabby Giffords' life, which resulted in the deaths of 6 people and injured 13 others. Daniel was the first to administer first aid to the Congresswoman before the EMTs arrived, and he was named a national hero by President Obama. Daniel, good to see you.
Thanks so much. It's good to see you in person.
Yeah, there you go. 31 years old, and look how long you have been in politics. What was it, like 18 years old when you first started lobbying?
Yeah, so it's been a very long and very hard 31 years because I'm an Arizona Democrat, and we haven't always had a ton of success. But when I was 18, I learned from Gabby the importance of advocacy, being a voice for those who can speak up for themselves, which led me to start going to the Arizona State House, lobbying for affordable and accessible higher education for all Arizonans, passed my first bill at 20, and then got elected to the Sunnyside School District Governing Board at 21. Mm. So I've been in office for now 10 years representing Southern Arizona. So it's kind of wild to me that I've spent almost a third of my life in public service here for the state of Arizona.
Where does that come from, that desire to get into public service? Most 18-year-olds are not thinking about that. They're thinking about other things. Not that you weren't also thinking about other things, but you had this political bent.
You know, my grandmother used to teach us this concept in Spanish, which was pon tu granito de arena, which is put in your little grain of sand, this idea that all of us have something to contribute to make the world a better place. And from the age of 5, I wanted to help people. But growing up on the south side of Tucson, I didn't see very many models of how to help people. So I thought becoming someone who worked in healthcare would be the only way. Thankfully, the skills that I learned in high school at Sunnyside through our CTE programs trained me so that when the shooting happened, I was able to provide first aid to Gabby and to others because of the skills that I learned in high school.
So you had first aid training.
I had first aid training. Mm-hmm. I trained as a nursing assistant and as a phlebotomist by the time I was 18. Mm-hmm. But when I was 18, I had this realization because Gabby pressed me and said, well, why do you want to do this? And I said, because I want to help people. Mm-hmm. She said, well, there are other ways to be able to help people. Being a voice for those who can't speak up for themselves. I joke that I grew up in a loud Mexican family. The idea that people couldn't speak up for themselves was a foreign concept. But she opened my eye to the idea of advocacy. And that's when I started lobbying for other people and for myself to make sure we had better opportunities for all Southern Arizona students and people at the 3 state universities.
And your younger sister, look what she's doing now. She's
both of them.
I mean, yeah. Well, so Alma was the youngest elected at the state. How did that work?
Was the youngest state representative when I was elected.
Okay.
Out of 90 members, I was 26 when I started.
Okay.
And I turned 27 in January. Okay. I served 2 years as the youngest member. And then my sister Alma Hernandez, Representative A. Hernandez, as we refer to her at the Capitol, became the youngest after myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then our sister Consuelo is also now serving on the Sunnyside School Board. Mm-hmm. So all three of the Hernandez, as we jokingly refer to ourselves as, are in elected office serving Southern Arizona and trying to make this world a better place.
So that's feeding the sibling energy, political energy is kind of feeding on one another.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when my dad was in Arizona, he hadn't voted in 20 years. In 2008, when I first got involved on Hillary's campaign and then Gabby's campaign, mm-hmm. I convinced him about the importance of getting involved and turning out to vote. Now he is one of our harshest critics because he's always listening to what we're doing at the Capitol, saying, well, why didn't you say this or why didn't you do this? But I think for me, it's really been a family affair. It's been about getting my own family involved in the process mm-hmm. to make sure that when we're going out to talk to other folks, other voters, other young people, it's not, you know, it's not good enough for me. So I'm not talking to my friends and family. Mm-hmm. It's here's what we've done with my friends and family. And now mm-hmm. there's an opportunity for you too. I've always been passionate about getting other people involved in the process mm-hmm. since I was 18 years old. And even when I ran for school board, we hired young people and gave them a stipend who otherwise wouldn't have been able to afford to get involved in the political process. Cause I see it being so critical to get young people, people of color, and people from other marginalized communities involved in the political process.
Do you think District 2 is going to be redistricted very much?
You know,
or is it going to pretty much stay the same? What's your gut feeling?
My gut feeling is if you go east, you go to New Mexico. If you go south, you go to Mexico.
Yeah.
So the only options are to go a little north and a little west. The district's almost 30% Latino right now and has never had a Latino congressman. I think there's a really great opportunity here to make sure that the border you know, has people that are representing the community that look more like the community. I also think with redistricting, there's a unique opportunity to make sure that we show that, you know, whether it's a D+2 or an R+2, that we have a candidate who's able to win because I'm someone who has shown their willingness to work with whomever it takes at the state capitol to get stuff done. And that's the kind of person that AZ2 has always had, whether it was Gabby or whether it was Ron Barber or Ann Kirkpatrick. We always elect those people who are pragmatic, who are willing to work to get stuff done. And I think that's the model that I'm seeking to follow.
So when you have three progressives like that in the field so far, what will separate, what will be your marquee issue that will separate you from Dr. Freeze and Engel?
You know, I'm someone who gets things done, and I think that's the biggest difference between anybody and myself in this race. When I started at the legislature as a freshman, I found the most conservative person in the body, and I said, I'm going to find a way to work with her. And it was Representative Maria Sims, and she was a prosecutor who cared about sexual assault victims. So I found a way to work with her, and then in my second year as a legislator, we passed a bill together, and it died in one committee, and it died on the floor, but we kept resurrecting it and kept working together until it finally became law. So I'm someone who will find opportunities where other folks see walls and barriers and say, okay, here's how I get around this. I was someone who worked as the chair of the LGBTQ caucus in 2019 to repeal a harmful law called No Promo Homo that made it illegal for Arizona folks to learn about the LGBTQ community in our public schools. And then most recently, I worked with Governor Ducey and Senator Sinema to save the Green Valley Hospital in the middle of a pandemic. So for me, the thing that differentiates me and the thing that I think makes me the best qualified for this is I get things done, and I don't just talk about ideas or concepts. I actually have a proven track record going back to when I was in 2014 working with Governor Brewer on the NICS fix bill, trying to get better gun policy in this state.
So this campaign, how are you structuring it? You mentioned that this is a district, what did you say, 30% Hispanic?
Almost.
Oh, that's very, okay.
Yeah.
So how are you going to get some of these people that maybe traditionally haven't registered to vote?
You know, I think the biggest problem is not necessarily registration. I think over the last 5 years, we've seen a lot of money get put into nonpartisan voter registration.
Right.
What we need to do is we need to give people a reason to vote. And when I go and I talk to folks who've never had their door knocked before, who've never been taken into consideration, the number one thing is not, you know, what is this policy position or that policy position? It's how are you going to make sure that my kids can go to a good school, that I can go to work and have dignity and be paid a livable wage and make sure that I have access to healthcare. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think we need to make sure that we're making the case to voters why we need them to turn out, because midterms are difficult for folks, especially the party in power in Washington, D.C. So we need to go to folks and say, you're registered. Now we need you to turn out and vote. But not because Daniel Hernandez is the best candidate, but because this is what Daniel will do for you as a citizen that lives in LD2.
Are these people surprised when you knock at the door?
A lot of the times it's
maybe
funny.
No one has come by before.
A lot of the times it's funny because people have never knocked on their doors. And it's funny. I've been going around to restaurants a little bit more now that COVID is a little bit easier to kind of go indoors, and I'm running into people who I knocked on their doors 5 or 6 years ago as a school board candidate or as a legislative candidate, and they're like, you came and you talked to me, and no one has ever done that before. And I think that's the thing that we need to keep doing, engaging people in a meaningful way and not just saying, these are the candidates you need to vote for, but here are the ideas, here are the policies that will help you and your children and make sure that you are able to get stuff done here in Southern Arizona.
All right, State Representative Daniel Hernandez. Daniel, have you set up the website? What's your website?
Yeah, danielhernandezforcongress.com. Mm-hmm. And people can follow me on social media, Daniel4AZ on all the social media.
Okay, enjoyed talking with you. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Bill.
All right, Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. We're going to be right back. Shelley Fishman's waiting in the wings, our financial consultant, with his Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Stay with us.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the Greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
It's always a pleasure to welcome to the Buckmaster Show microphones my friend, a very knowledgeable guy as well. Not only is he a friend, but he's smart as heck. Hey, Shelley, how are you? How about that, friend?
Oh, keep it going. Come on, keep it going.
You want me to throw some more adjectives? Yeah, Mr. Nice Guy,
wow.
Looking good with his workout from his home gym, and on it goes. Shelley, we talk a lot about volatility with these markets. We've been really, that word has popped out since last March of the COVID year. It's still with us.
It's still with us. It's going to stay with us. We've been talking about that. Today's a down day. Yesterday was an up day. Friday was a very good day. This is reflective, I think, of what is normally, what has been and will continue to be, a somewhat flattened positive trend between now and the rest of the year. We have high-tech companies are expected to provide their quarterly results for the former quarter and forward-looking advice for the coming quarter or the current quarter. And there's some nervousness about that, largely because of some regulations and restrictions going on in China. So that's probably the cause of today's malaise. But in general, what we have is the markets at or near all-time highs. A pretty good forward-looking positivity in the investment community. So I'm not worried about this at all, because there's nothing fundamental about this that indicates change.
The Delta variant is spooking so many people, though.
Talk about fundamental. There we go. Now,
yeah.
That's a different story.
Right.
The Delta variant is, in fact, causing us to take a look at whether or not the world will be open for business over the next two quarters, or if it will be restricted, if some of the restrictions that have slowed down or shut down the economies of the world over the past 18 months could begin to creep back into our daily kind of daily existence. And if that's the case, then the recovery into normalcy or the new normalcy will be in fact impeded. And that's got some people worried.
It will slow it somewhat.
It will slow it.
To what degree, we don't know.
We don't know. We're going to see GDP results for the second quarter this week. We also have the Fed Open Market Committee meeting today and tomorrow, and we'll get some forward-looking guidance. You know, they always talk in babble. But we'll get some forward-looking guidance from them tomorrow afternoon.
And of course, you know, volatility is the word we've used a lot. And one other word that's popped up, inflation.
Yeah. you know, I'm really...
And people wondering what's different. I still hear it a lot. People saying, well, look back to the 1970s.
Okay, well, look back to the 1830s. I mean, you know, who cares about the 1970s? It was a different world.
You know, and gas lines.
Yeah. Okay. So look, bad things can happen, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take a look at today's Washington Post,
as evidenced by me with a broken arm,
there you go. There's a very extended article in the Washington Post today that really describes in very wonkish detail what's going on with supply lines, and how things that happen in a warehouse in Chicago back things up at the Port of Los Angeles, which backs things up at factories in Taiwan and Vietnam. And so what's happening is that because demand has gotten so high, as you know, this pent-up demand and the ability to pay for that pent-up demand with savings that have gone out of whack over the past 18 months, that has caused a tremendous drain on our ability to actually get end-user stuff into the stores in right. time, for instance, for the new school year or in time for Christmas. And what we're seeing in consumer goods, and remember this is a 70% consumer-driven economy, what we're seeing is shortages. Shortages cause people to bid up prices. Mm-hmm. Now, the question is this going to be permanent? Is it going to be endemic, as I call it? Or is it just transitory? Will they work out the new normal in these supply chains? I was very optimistic and still am very optimistic that they'll get this worked out, unless this Delta variant shuts down factories again, in which case you get this. Remember what a slinky is?
Oh, yeah.
Up in, you know, like
a
spring that goes back and forward and
back.
We
used to play with them as kids.
Climb stairs with these things, right?
yo-yos.
And you get this kind of slinky effect, which means that all of a sudden you have more congestion in the supply chains. The Delta variant causes factories to stop. The supply chain then eases off. But then again, demand picks up, and you get this compression of the supply chain. If this becomes maybe a two-quarter delay in the new normal, then what you're going to see, I think, is continued volatility as people just don't quite know what to make of it. What I hope to hear later this week from the Fed is some guidance as to what they think, you know, might happen in this respect. What's clear is that the just-in-time model for managing inventory is giving way to something that we just don't know about yet. We can't rely on filling up our inventory just when we need to. Mm-hmm. So that means that we're going to have larger inventory maintained at factory locations or at warehouse locations.
More product in the warehouse, right?
More product in the warehouse. Yeah. That increases cost somewhat. Mm-hmm. It's not a massive increase mm-hmm. in cost, but it does increase costs somewhat. That will get reflected back to the consumer. So is some of this inflation here to stay? Probably. Is it caused by increased spending on the part of government? No, it's not. And that's what's so important to recognize. While, you know, there was a cartoon in yesterday's Star, and it was a big gas truck on fire, and the federal government trying to put out the flames with the gasoline from the truck. You know, okay, I get that. We get the political message and all of that, mm-hmm. but that's not what's happening. Look, we have an administration that is trying to put through a tremendous upsurge in infrastructure spending. Now, you can call it infrastructure, you can call it, you know, changes in how we deal with people's personal needs through healthcare, through childcare, also through where infrastructure is going, which is the high-tech stuff. So you can call it infrastructure, you can call it anything you like. We see proposals on the part of this administration that would imply a level of spending on the part of the government unlike anything we've seen since World War II. The question is that going to cause inflation? And the answer is it depends. If the government is able to balance the supply side and the demand side in how they spend this money, then there shouldn't be a real in impact on inflation. How we pay for all of that is another issue entirely. But what we hear from Republicans and have heard for 40 years is that if the government is spending money, that is going to cause inflation. And there is absolutely no proof that any of that is true.
Well, one thing that will not be going away is income equality, Shelley. But we'll have to save that, I think, for another topic. Well, we have a minute or so.
So if we can do the spending in such a way that we pay for it by taxing people who have benefited tremendously over the past 40 years, then that will give us an opportunity to pull some of that continuing wealth from the top 10%, 15, 20, 30% of our population and feed it down, if you will, into people who are at the lowest 10 or 15 or 20%. We see some of that already with wage pressure at the lowest rungs of wage earners. We see minimum wage and companies such as fast food companies paying more. If we can see more and more of that, not only down into the lowest wage earners, but throughout the middle class, that will begin to fix this problem. Because over the past 20 or 30 years, most of GDP growth has gone to the top 10% of earners. It has not been shared. So most people have stagnated. We need to fix that problem.
All right, Shelley, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. The Buckmaster Show. Have a great week, Shelley.
You too.
The Buckmaster Show will continue in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. The Green Things, 3384 East River Road, 13 acres of green things that are just screaming, I'm ready to be taken home and planted in your garden. It's moist. We've had the rain, and I'll tell you, put some color in the garden now. It will look so good come September. They've got everything you need at Green Things. Their website, greenthingsaz.com, and their sister business on the property, Zocalo Village. Their website is zocalovillage.com. We will be right back and talking travel with Ryan Hansen.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley and on the web at noblehops.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
MedCare to You is a new Tucson-based concierge telemedicine urgent care, specializing in caring for our patients in the comfort of your location. We deliver your prescriptions and even provide in-person visits with our dedicated staff. It's convenient, quick, private, and your personal information is always protected. Find out more at MedCare2UAZ.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We're watching Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, one of my favorite segments. Monthly is time to talk travel. It's insider travel talk on Buckmaster with our travel contributor, Ryan Hansen, and he knows the travel industry like the back of his hand. He is president and chief operating officer of Bon Voyage Travel, Arizona's premier agency since 1976. Bon Voyage travel experts are ready right now to create your trip of a lifetime. There are three Southern Arizona Bon Voyage offices, River and Campbell, Green Valley and Oro Valley. BVTravel.com is your first stop in making your travel dreams come true, and our first stop for an update on what's going on in the travel industry, especially cruising, is my friend Ryan Hansen. Hey, Ryan.
Bill, great to be back in.
So much going on with the reset with the cruise industry. Where do we begin? Give us kind of the 30-second elevator look.
It's almost like following the stock market, right? One day it's up, the next day it's down. Right. And that is the interesting piece here, is how the requirements from the CDC, or in fact what the cruise lines are putting in place for health and safety protocols, what is legal and maybe what is not. And I think the cruise lines are trying to do their very best to sail with safety first. And so I believe the cruise lines are satisfied if they were to require COVID protocols from a vaccination documentation side of things globally. They would be happy with that because that would fit countries' requirements and legal things. But the state of Florida and a little bit in Texas, but primarily Florida, thinks otherwise. And we can kind of describe what's going on in Florida if you'd like me to expand on that.
Yeah, Rhino, what does Florida want, bottom line?
Bottom line, Florida does not want to have any commercial business require proof of vaccination to do business in their state. And the cruise lines that set sail out of Florida or dock in Florida upon return would fall under those state laws. And that's been taken all the way up to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court has withheld the stance that Florida does not have to require proof of vaccination to do business. Well, as a cruise line, they can't require that to get on their ship, but they are putting into place different camps. So if you are vaccinated, you may not have to be tested as frequently. You don't have to wear masking in public spaces. You can go on pretty much any shore excursion. But what cruise lines are doing to try to protect the safety bubble that they have on their ship is by allowing unvaccinated passengers on board, which the state of Florida says you have to do that, they are creating a different set of protocols: increased testing, masking in public spaces, and in some cases, only allowed on shore excursions that are pre-approved and bubble-like, conducted by the cruise line, so they can keep those passengers from interfacing and interacting with vaccinated passengers.
Generally, are most of the cruise lines sailing again, Ryan Hansen?
Yeah, most of them are in place. The three major cruise lines that have not set sail just as of yet would be Norwegian Cruise Line, Oceania Cruises, and Regent Seven Seas. But by mid-August, two of those will be in the waters, and then Oceania will join them in September. Those two, Oceania and Regent, are a little more of a luxury experience. Their passengers book further and further out, so they were very cautious with suspending sailings into the future to make sure that when they go, they're ready to go without too many alterations.
Travel to Alaska has always been, it's just been so synonymous with Tucsonans in summer. Are the ships sailing again to Alaska?
Yeah, excited to report that Holland America and Princess, if you combine those two cruise lines, they have sailed in Alaska for over 125 years.
Huge tradition.
These are the two primary cruise lines. July 24th, Holland America set sail with the New Amsterdam, and Majestic Princess set sail on July 25th. Both of those round trip Seattle. So there's no Vancouver sailings right now, as we recall, the Canadian government has put a ban on cruise lines touching port in Canada. Right. So these are all Seattle round trips, but what a great opportunity for you to get out of the heat, get out of the humidity that we've seen with the monsoons, and get to Alaska. So there are a number of sailings. There's 10 cruise itineraries on each of those cruise lines. In addition to that, Norwegian Cruise Line and Royal Caribbean Cruise Line will be setting sail in mid-August. And in both of those cases, we always talk about Bon Voyage not only sends people, but we know we have an advisor that's going to be traveling on the test cruise for Royal Caribbean next week. And the following week, an advisor will be on the Norwegian Cruise Line to test out the protocols, see what embarkation and disembarkation looks like. What does cruising in a COVID world look like in Alaska? Not only do we know because we're sending people, we know because we'll have people on those test ships.
And we will hear about that in late August when you're with us. That will be perfect timing. And, you know, having to go, I've gone up to Alaska. I've been up there in May, and I've been up there in late August and into September. I prefer, autumn comes early up there. It is, that's a prime, September, late August, September, a prime month. And it's great to hear that those 10 sailings, that will push it through the month of September.
It will definitely push it through, and maybe even a little longer than normal in the season.
Maybe early October.
I believe it does go through September. It's a great time to see Alaska, as you mentioned. A lot of people want to be there in June and July, but the whole industry and the economic boon that we talk about a lot to those ports of call in Alaska, they will see some revenue this summer that gives you hope that they're going to survive and make it to a full season of travel next year.
And your advisors can talk about price point and putting people on those some of those 10 cruises.
Yeah, and you've got price point variability.
I wondered about that.
Yeah, you start with
that changed. Has there been much change?
No, the price points are pretty much the same, but I'm talking about from cruise line to cruise line, your experience on ship can change from an all-inclusive, everything's paid for on a Silver Sea, all the way to a Norwegian cruise line where it's a la carte for your experience. Right. You pay a little bit less up front on Norwegian and Royal Caribbean, but then maybe an elevated experience would be Princess, Holland America, and Celebrity. And if you want to get up to a luxury experience, that's when you get into the Silver Sea category. That's where pricing per day can get from $100 a day all the way up to $400 a day. And you would say, gosh, $400 a day, but that would include your excursions, your meals, everything you could ever want from an alcohol or a beverage standpoint. Starts to be pretty comparable to what you would pay on land.
What if you want, what if a cruiser wants to get inland to Denali? Can you take care of the, can your
absolutely.
People take care of
and
that?
And we would definitely recommend those cruise tour, those cruise and land extensions, and not just to take that 7-night inside passage that is a pretty exciting trip. You get to see a lot, but you don't get to see true Alaska until you go inland and staying in the, go to the Kenai Peninsula or go up to Denali.
Resurrection Bay at Seward.
Yeah, in Bon Voyage, we're actually putting together, if you're interested in something beyond just that cruise, next summer we're launching a whole new division of Bon Voyage Travel that is exactly what you're talking about, cruise and land getaways to Alaska. And we're talking about two nights in Fairbanks and riding the rail down to Denali. So it is a really immersive, authentic Alaska experience. We already have those packages available if you want to reach out to our offices.
Really, the booking then has started for next summer.
Year. Yeah. Exactly.
And some cruises are even talking about 2023.
Yeah, 2023 and 2024, if you can believe it, are not that far out into the future. Cruising is going to have a big boon, and if that is something we talk about maybe ad nauseum, but I do like to talk about it. If you're thinking, next summer, I think I'll be ready to cruise, and I'll wait until January or February to make my plans, I promise you, the stateroom that you want, the itinerary that makes the most sense, and the price point that fits your budget— probably won't be there if you wait until January or February.
And let's not shortchange domestic travel. You're getting calls from people that say, I want to see a national park, maybe see it this fall. Can you arrange those trips for these people?
Yeah, we absolutely can. And that is one area of travel that is not depressed right now, mm-hmm. is national parks, is Hawaii. Yeah. Our resorts and different properties, even just on the West Coast, if you're interested in heading over to San Diego or up to San Francisco, there's some unbelievably great resort getaways for you. But I know we always love the national park trips. Yeah. So up to Yellowstone and everything that has to do in that area.
Up to Mount Rainier like we did late August last year. What a great trip that is.
That is one of your
favorite
spots.
Let me ask you quickly, what about Hawaii? What has been the what's been the reaction among Southern Arizonans on the return to Hawaii travel?
One of the big things that made the change was earlier this month, July 8th, the governor of Hawaii changed all of those restrictions where each island had its own testing protocols. They've unified the state, and so there's only one testing protocol, and you have to have a COVID vaccination document or you have to have a negative test, and that allows you to travel freely amongst the islands. Southern Arizonans are traveling to Hawaii. They're going there very frequently anyways, but it is definitely a destination of choice right now for those that want to get out of Tucson and do want to fly. It's amazing when you talk to people that haven't flown on an airplane. That's one
year and a half,
topic.
Yeah.
Is a lot people of, are, it's, yeah. They've got it down to the month. It's been 18 months. It's been 16 months since I've flown. The excitement around travel is palpable.
Yeah.
And by having something taken away from you, you realize what you've lost. People are excited to get back on airplanes.
And, you know, a lot of people go to TripAdvisor and they want to kind of preliminary take a look at what's available, say, on Oahu and all the luxury properties in Honolulu, and they can't decide. Can you get somebody into a beautiful five-star resort with maybe some special amenities?
Absolutely. And we actually encourage our travelers to do their due diligence, right? Find out what makes sense for them, what they think might work for them. But that's the beauty of working with us. Instead of being a caller that is a booking of one room, we book thousands upon thousands of travelers to Hawaii every year. So think of the buying power that we get. It could be an upgrade. It could be for complimentary breakfast. And oh, by the way, you know how expensive those breakfast buffets can be.
Like check $100 with gratuities for two for a breakfast at a five-star resort in Honolulu.
I'll be at the Grand Wailea in Maui in September. So I'll come back and maybe give you a price breakdown of what some of those amenities would actually cost you if you paid for them on your own versus securing them through booking with us.
Breakfast is huge. If you can get that thrown in at a luxury property, that's a big deal. Ryan, always a pleasure. We'll look forward to hearing about what's going on, some firsthand reports when we see you in late August, okay?
Looking forward to it, Bill.
BVTravel.com, the first stop in making your travel dreams come true. Give those folks a call. They are so darn knowledgeable over there. They can answer all of your questions. And who doesn't have travel questions right now as folks say, hey, I want to get back out and hit the road again. All right, Buckmaster in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. This would be a great weekend to take that three-hour drive over to Silver City. You think we've had a lot of rain? They've had a lot of rain over there in that portion, that southeast corner of New Mexico. It looks really, really good up in Silver City. I saw some pictures on Facebook from the Gila National Wilderness. Boy, it looks as green as Ireland. Be a great way to get out and do some hiking and relatively cool air over there because of the elevation. So visit southwestnewmexico.org and start your planning on things to do and places to stay in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Continuing with our travel half hour of the Buckmaster Show, let's welcome Dan Gibson to visit Tucson for our monthly Tucson Tourism Report. Hey, Dan, how are you?
I am all right. How are you?
Doing real well. I see these new numbers are out from the Arizona Office of Tourism. We knew that Arizona took a hit. It was pretty hard hit in the pandemic year. We now have some backing from the office saying that spending by visitors in 2020 fell 41% compared to 2019, while the total overnight visitation declined 31%. Quite honestly, Dan, I was expecting worse than that. So I know it sounds kind of bad, but it's not that bad.
No, I think, you know, in a weird way, that's sort of been the experience that I've had, you know, talking about it over the months and months and months here, is that, you know, leisure travel did not totally go away. People
right.
were still, even in the worst part of the pandemic, people were still taking trips and going places. The uncertainty is what is a lot of the challenge. And then those numbers don't reflect necessarily the scope of, like, business travel or convention business, which is obviously the, like, big sort of the elephant in the room in that conversation. And we finished up our fiscal year, you know, with $149 million of economic impact in 2020-2021, as weirdly as that sounds. You know, and that was down 27%, right? So, I mean, it could have been a whole lot worse. You're also still looking at part of the 19-20 fiscal year was you know, in the middle of the pandemic as well. So, right, it is a little bit of these, it's just weird to judge these numbers. It really is just like, how quickly can we get back in the swing of things? And that there's sort of good news and bad news on that front. You know, the good news is people are still traveling. Tucson is doing better than a lot of West Coast cities we compare ourselves to. The downside is in the last week or so, you've seen consumer confidence go down. Not dramatically, but it's, after it had been going up and up and up, the concerns about the Delta variant have changed the way people are thinking about travel. It's taking some people out of the marketplace, and it is changing how localities feel about people traveling. And that's, you know, that's less of an impact, but it does mean something. If people don't feel welcome in a place, or the businesses aren't open and things like that, then that's, you know, people don't have as good of an experience.
Visit Arizona Initiative. This is the state office of tourism. They've announced they're going to be throwing more money at tourism. How does that help us in Tucson?
Great question. Yeah. I mean, it TBD is a little bit of the answer there. The Arizona Governor's Conference on Tourism is next week, and we'll get hopefully a little bit more detail from that from Debbie Johnson, the head of the Arizona Office of Tourism. But there are at least $25 million of money in play for marketing initiatives. Now, how much of that is coming to Tucson? Hard to say, right? We'll fight for every dollar. I think that's been our pattern in the past. But some of that also is going to be keeping Arizona in the larger conversation about travel, period, right? You have California that has rental car money that goes into travel promotion. And I think anybody who's turned a TV on has probably seen an ad for California. Florida, same thing. I mean, there's just like tons of money in these industries. Las Vegas getting out there a lot. So Arizona really, to some extent, just has to stay on a level of where people are considering the state as a whole. And that money coming from the governor's office is going to help on that front. It also will help with events. You know, not the mega events like the Super Bowl or the Final Four, but there's money in that $101 million that goes to specifically promoting events and conventions and things like that. That's something that we're going to help our events chase after, right? Like, it could make a big difference for, say, the Gem Show, or even something like Tucson Meet Yourself or the Mariachi Festival or things like that. So good news is a lot of stuff is getting on the calendar, right? You're starting to see things happening, you know, shows booked the Rialto and the Fox, and you know, a selfish plug here, the Jazz Festival announcing its lineup this week, right? There are things that to look forward to, and that really does help promote travel in the long term.
To carry that another step, is Visit Tucson sponsoring the Jazz Festival? I'll give you a plug there.
Yeah, this is right. This
tell
is
me.
The most sort of right down the yeah.
Yeah,
Tucson
tell
is
me.
Sponsors the Jazz Festival. HSL Properties is the title sponsor. We do have John Batiste headlining this year. You may know him. He won an Oscar for his work on the movie Soul. He's also on the Colbert Show on CBS. He's the band leader on there. And other artists like Herb Alpert, the Spanish Harlem Orchestra, Diane Reeves, who's performing at Leo Rich, which is like a wild sort of combination of a very big artist performing in a very intimate space. So, yeah, Visit Tucson's back in the events game. We're going to – a lot of these events come to us for money, and we're happy to support the ones that make sense for, like, promoting tourism and that have a draw for people coming here. Events make a big difference. They give people an impetus to say, like, we should go right then. That's
right.
That's the thing we should go for.
I'm in. Tell me, when is the festival?
Oh, yeah, it's early January. I should know the dates right off the top of my head. But yeah, it's running for 2 weeks, right around Martin Luther King Day.
Did you say that Herb Alpert is coming?
Yes, indeed, coming to the Rialto Theater with Lonnie Hall.
She's terrific.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I will work on seeing if I can get you. We should do a Herb Alpert appearance on the Buckmaster.
Oh, I would love that. Oh, I would. That would be terrific.
I'll start working on that right now. We'll put it on the list.
And Lonnie Hall, one of the original members of Brazil 66, Sergio Mendes.
Yeah.
Saw her a couple of times with Sergio Mendes. All right, Dan, so I think things are looking pretty good, but you know that the gorilla in the room is this COVID-19 variant, the Delta variant. So I say to people, get your shots.
Please, yes. I mean, it makes all the difference in the world. And if you do not want to see the world close down again,
yes.
And fingers crossed it won't.
Yep.
It's certainly imposing. For sure.
All right. Good information, Dan. Thank you very much.
Always a pleasure.
All right. Dan Gibson from Visit Tucson. Boy, we had a lot of content in the hour here today. Lots of information. That's the way we like it. Wrapping up the Buckmaster Show. Dave Ramsey, he's always entertaining and always has great information on how to spend your money and how to save your money, I suppose, is the right way to put it. On behalf of John Couch, Engineering and Producing, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Hope you have a great afternoon, everybody.